Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Happy Monday to you, and it's great to be here. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on in the stars above, in the sky above us for the week beginning today. Actually, we're going to look a little bit backwards toward the weekend for just a bleep of a minute, and then we'll move forward through the rest of the week through Sunday the 19th. And here we are, right in the smack dab in the middle of July, if you can believe that. It's amazing to me how quickly time flies. And I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It was an interesting weekend, and that's why I say we're going to take a little bit of a trip back, because I want to know how everybody did with Chiron on Saturday changing direction to retrograde, and the planet Mercury, who's been in retrograde, turning to direct. We call it stationing direct. But a station doesn't mean that all of a sudden a planet that's been, it from our perspective here on Earth, moving backwards, suddenly swishes and moves forward. It kind of hangs there in the balance for a bit. And it's that hanging in the balance that sometimes gives us this long-lasting feeling, an opportunity even to look backwards and then to look forward. It's sort of that perch, if you will, right between the times, right between the past and the future, the ever-present moment, right? The now moment. And so take your chances this week by looking backwards and seeing what kind of lessons did you learn during the time Mercury was in retrograde. You could go back even toward the beginning of its retrograde cycle, where in early June it entered into the shadow zone. And the shadow then will last for us now until about August, I think it's July 27th or 28th. So we have this extended period of time through which we can take a look at all of the things that have happened to us during this Mercury retrograde, related to our minds, related to our communication, related to even transportation, which is a very Mercury sort of thing, but as it related to nurturing and home and family and creating a stable future or stable foundation for your future. So if we look at all of those different things, we can just get perspective on what it was that we learned, what it was that we found out about ourselves, perhaps, things that we discovered, right? And maybe they're not always the positive things that we discover about ourselves, but we have this opportunity to really evaluate where we've been and where do we want to go from here. Now, as well, Chiron moving into retrograde on Saturday may have triggered the wound. Funny enough, I discovered that same thing happened to me on Saturday as I picked up my phone in the morning to start looking at messages or, you know, any kind of news. And there was comments coming from someone who really triggered me. And I had to do exactly what I tell you guys always to do, which is to stop before I knee jerk and react to the wound, to the pain, and breathe. Right? Take your time. Consider, what does this mean? What does this remind you of? What is the wound that's being triggered? And then I could answer from a place of a higher place, let's say. And I don't mean that in a hierarchical sort of way. I mean from a place of heart, from a place of oneness, from a place where I can recognize the other person and their wounds, perhaps, before I, you know, sliced and diced them with my words. So that was interesting, because I actually felt like I had been sliced and diced with this person's words. And of course, no one can ever harm you with their words. That's only, you know, in our minds. And what we, you know, no one can harm you with their words if you don't hold some kind of energy on what it is that they're saying within you, like maybe some little niggling fear that what they're saying is true, or some little niggling fear that you are lacking in some way. So Chiron's such an interesting planet. And as we move into the week ahead, we'll see that Mars and Chiron will come into a conjunction. It'll actually be Chiron moving backwards into a conjunction with Mars moving forward, Chiron now moving backwards. So they're coming together like so. And it will be a time for us to really have the courage to face those inner demons or those wounds, those places within us that have been hurt or that can get easily triggered by someone's comments or something that happens in the outer world that triggers a fear, a scarcity, perhaps a lack that you feel within you. So it'll be our time to address problems that come up, right? Not to hide them or shove them under the rug. It's not a time for that. It's a time to address those problems. And the problems that we have may be around several key areas. One, depending on where your natal Chiron is, right? That could be the inner wound. But Chiron transiting through Aries may be triggering wounds about our independence or about being able to do what we love, to stand on our own two feet and stand our ground with our own convictions, right? The courage of one's convictions, with confidence, with self-assurance, with calmness, right? Mars in Aries right now is not particularly calm. So we're struggling within us for that confrontational energy between, you know, Mars, confrontation, conflict, and wanting action. And then also Chiron, that's digging into the wound area. So this is a time for healing of those old wounds as they're triggered, right? Don't wait until you get back to Chiron moving forward in December to address the wounds. Address them as they come up, right? So looking at them, taking decisive action on what you're going to do with that wound. Am I going to let it heal? Am I going to just recognize it, value it as a part of my experience? Or am I going to continue to struggle with it over time? So we have that going on. That's actually kind of bridging from today into tomorrow. So depending on your time zone, it could be happening like on the West Coast here today. And for those of you on the East Coast and beyond, it will be more tomorrow morning, very early. That doesn't mean it won't happen today, tomorrow, or the next day. Remember, transits build, and then they have their exact, and then they wane. So we have a series of days in which these things may come up for us. And indeed, mine started on Saturday. I'm still dealing with it. I'm getting dressed this morning, and I'm thinking about that conversation, and it's kind of funny, right? We hold on to these things. So what else is going on this week? One thing I meant to mention last Friday about what was going on yesterday was a Sun trine Neptune. This is really a very beautiful kind of transit. And yesterday to me was a beautiful day, right? It was sunny. It was windy, just breezy, just perfect day. We were out bicycling and just enjoying the afternoon. And then it gave me an opportunity to be spiritually connected to all that is. And that's kind of the highlight of that Sun trine Neptune. And Neptune is in retrograde right now. So it's moving us inward to where we can really find true peace and true tranquility and sereneness and connection to spirit or God or source, however you want to name it. And also to all of our spiritual brothers and sisters, animal kingdom and human and plants and everything. And so it was a really great feeling of oneness and unity and togetherness yesterday as I was out riding with the wind in my hair on a bicycle, you know, getting to just go and be free. So that was yesterday as well. Now, while this week isn't as crazy as weeks past, there's always something, right? There's always something. And as I was thinking about July, and I told you guys this back in at the end of June as I was preparing July's information, that there was just something niggling at me, something in the background. And I didn't know what it was. I still don't know exactly what its meaning is to me, but I felt like there was more to July than what we could see on the surface. And now that we've come to the most crazy parts of July and passed through them, we come into the first week where I looked and I went, but then I realized that the sun this week begins a series of oppositions to our planets in Capricorn, right? The sun is moving into its last full week of Cancer energy as it prepares next week to move into Leo. So we're going to be leaving that energy of Cancer behind. And we've had Mercury retrograde in Cancer. We've had the opposition of various planets in Cancer opposing Capricorn planets, Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn at one point, Pallas Athena. and how all of that has been affecting us in terms of the deconstruction and reconstruction of society at large, and then also our own parts in it. So this week, the Sun begins that series of oppositions with first Jupiter on Tuesday, and then Pluto on Wednesday. And then next week, Monday, with the new moon, we'll have the opposition to Saturn. So Saturn kind of bridges us into next week, but it's the series of oppositions that seemingly pulls us in two different directions. So for example, the Sun and Jupiter usually come together. They're really good together. The Sun is beneficent. The planet Jupiter is beneficent. But what may get highlighted for us in this opposition is where we have gone to excess, to extremes, where we've overdone it. And we may find ourselves in the unenviable position of having to backtrack in some way or to reduce something that we've gone too far. So excesses, that's the part that we might be dealing with. But we also have the opportunity to sort of focus our growth areas. And so the week will bring us that opportunity to really sort of step back. If you can be objective, that would be the best way to do this, to be objective and to look at where are the places where maybe you spent too much time, too much money, too much emphasis on something. And now where do I need to reform that idea and, you know, move into a more targeted or focused, concentrated type of growth. So it reminds me that this energy reminds me of the hare and the tortoise, right? Where the hare jumps out ahead and he ends up, you know, going fast and just kind of darting here and there, while the tortoise is taking a very stepwise approach. Well, I feel like the Sun opposing Jupiter is showing us where we've been much more like the hare than the tortoise. And remember that this energy in Capricorn, where this opposition, this is Cancer and Capricorn, this is forming a solid foundation that's built upon a stepwise progression, right? Step by step, goal after goal, ticking them off as we go, because we're creating sustainability. That's the biggest theme, is conservatism and sustainability. So we have these themes. We may be seeing right now where we've maybe been less than conservative and less than building something of a sustainable nature, and we have to course correct for that. That may be something going on this week. Wednesday, the Sun comes into an opposition to Pluto. Now, superficially, that one is maybe control issues, maybe some kind of power struggle between people, you know, maybe people that you work with or family members, you know. So on one surface, that's kind of what the Sun opposes Pluto means. But we've been through so much in these past few months, and especially if you look back from, say, January of 2019, when things really started powering up with that energy in Capricorn and Saturn and Pluto. Even though they had not been in their conjunction yet, they were very close to it most of 2019. They come into the conjunction in January, and then we've been dealing with, you know, the ramifications of all of that through 2020. Well, now with the Sun in an opposition to Pluto, from Cancer to Capricorn, we have this opportunity to go into those dark recesses of our mind and to be able to learn to change our mind. When I see this kind of a transit, this isn't like blaring at us, although maybe for some of you Plutoan types, maybe those of you who are Scorpio or who have Mars and Pluto in Scorpio or who have, you know, a Mars or Pluto highly activated in your natal charts, this might mean that you're going through some more dramatic or traumatic changes. But for the most of us, this is about accessing the darker places within us, the shadows, right? Dealing with the shadow energy. What keeps you from living the Sun's light, right? The Sun in a chart is all about the light that you're here to share. Pluto or Hades takes us down into the underworld, takes us into the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind, where patterns lay there, you know, that can, you know, be helpful, but also can be the things that are holding us back. In a way, it looks at our self-sabotage. It looks at the ways in which we are not being our own best friends. This might be a week that really shows you, if you choose to go there, what it is that's keeping you from the full expression of the sun in your natal chart. So we want to look to where your sun is, your personal sun, the sign it's in, right? And then we want to look to where the signs Cancer and Capricorn are in your chart so that you can look across that axis, because the houses that those two signs are in is where things are crashing and burning and rebuilding and restructuring and reforming. And that can be in two different places, three different places even, right? Because you've got the sun, your own personal sun, unless you're a Cancer or Capricorn, and then the axis of Cancer and Capricorn in your chart. So lots of interesting energies this way for us to look at, but not necessarily something that I find is negative. I think it can be for people who aren't willing or are unable maybe to go there. But be willing to go there. Be willing to look in those dark places to see where it is you're holding on to the old and where it is that the dark is pulling you to come into the light, and where is it that the light is pulling from the dark. And that can be very helpful. So I'm going to switch over here to YouTube and say good morning to everybody. Good morning, Kimberly and Amy. Joshua, great to see you. Tati, Mimi, good morning. And Amy sending us flowers. Thank you very much, Amy. This is the same lipstick I pretty much wear every day. It's my favorite one. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. Kimberly says, I felt okay with Chiron retrograde, but I think that's because I have it retrograde natally. And a lot of us do, right? Because he spends 5 months of the year in retrograde. So, you know, the chance, there's a good percentage of chance that you might have that retrograde. Allison, good morning to you. Joshua, I just slept through Saturday pretty much. You must have needed the rest. Got donuts. Yay. Linda Marie, good morning. I thought it was safe because Mercury went direct, and yesterday I hit my side mirror right off of my car. Also, two parking tickets during this retrograde. Is this happening in your third house? I mean, is it, or it happening in a place where you have a lot of planets? Because that's amazing. But you know, Linda, during this retrograde, I also had a car breakdown, forcing us to go and buy another car. And then we took the car that broke down in to just say, okay, hey, we thought it was so major, you know, what's gone wrong here? And then it turns out that not only did a squirrel eat the wire harness and totally take out the electrical system, which was, you know, able to be fixed. And then there was a little bit of a transmission issue. They all got fixed. And now we find ourselves with two cars. So Mercury acted in my own chart also with transportation issues. So hard to say, you know, what it is that sometimes brings that up. I know people often have breakdowns in their home appliances, breakdowns with their cars, or issues around contracts and things like that during Mercury retrograde. So it's never surprising that those things happen. But I'm sorry that you've had that experience. It's not fun. Good morning, Kamal and J-Lo. And someone has been starting with me. I came in seconds late and know it's speaking to me. Someone has been starting with me. I don't know what they want. Good morning. Oh, I don't know what that's all about. That sounds interesting, intriguing. Destiny, good morning. And J-Lo, I just bought a Pachira Aquatica. I swear it was calling me. I'm not sure what that is. You'll have to tell me, because I love the name. Joshua says, I have had this feeling too, like something big is going to happen, but the anticipation just keeps building. J-Lo, 1111 in New York. Joshua and J-Lo, both of you seemed, I have been seeing 111, 1111, 222, 333, 444, and it just keeps happening without me even like consciously checking my clock or anything like that. It just happens. And in different ways, it could be license plates I see. It could be, you know, something I'm reading and I happen to glance at the clock on my Kindle and it's 11:11. It's just so weird. But that usually tells me that there's something going on and I just don't know what it is yet. And so I'm just going to hold space for love, for peace, for prosperity. I'm just going to hold all of that energy and I'm just going to give it and receive it and give it and receive it. Because I feel like whatever it is that's happening or will happen is totally out of my control. That's I think where we get our ill at ease feeling, is that we feel like first we don't know. We don't know when, we don't know what, and we don't feel like it's in our control. Right. And that sometimes is probably the hardest part of the whole thing, is that we don't feel like we have any say in what's about to happen. So, Joshua, Sun conjunct Mars for me. And that's interesting too, Joshua, because I have my, progressed Sun conjunct Mars and my, solar arc Sun conjunct Mars. So maybe that's, you know, part of that feeling too. And Joshua says Pluto Mars opposition, though. Power, and more power, and struggling to move the light. I think for you, Joshua, it sounds to me, without knowing your actual chart, that you are tasked with embodying more of the light in this lifetime. And that might mean opening yourself up to some very powerful changes, some very powerful transformational energy in this lifetime. So I don't know about your chart, but that's what it looks like it might be. Asa, good morning. And Jennifer Peachy, good morning. And Destiny says, you're Cancer rising, right? Yes, I am, Destiny. Any aspect of opposition makes sense considering the sixth house being about any daily routine, i.e. karma. Oh yeah, thank you. I would never have thought of it that way, Destiny, but thank you. Amy, yes, Josh, I have been feeling that way for months, honestly. Josh and Amy, me too. Allison says, I think we're all feeling it, right? J-Lo says, it's a mini tree. Oh, supposed to be money tree. Oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds like fun. And Joshua says, you'll know soon, I booked a reading. Oh, cool. And Destiny. Okay, so love chatting with all of you. And by the way, this is Monday, which means that this is broadcasting to Oneness Talk Radio on their Facebook page and also through their broadcast system. So I want to welcome any new subscribers and new people to the show who are not used to what we do here. And because it's Monday, what we do is we take a look out through the week and what we might expect, kind of taking a wider look at the themes, and then coming in closer as each day comes up. So if you're listening to this today, you might be listening to it as a recording later. You can also go to my YouTube channel, Living Astrology, and Tuesday through Friday, I'm also on talking about these things in more detail as they come up on a day-to-day basis. Okay, so what else is going on this week? I will come back and go through some of the other comments. But for now, let's transition to human design, shall we? One of my other favorite subjects, astrology, now human design and the gene keys, where we get to take these energies and these themes a little bit deeper. And this is such an interesting week for us, I think, as you know, we've been working on opinions. Remember last week, we had this big conversation around the gate 17 in our ajna leading down to the throat. Well, this week, the sun is at the gate 62, which is the gate that sits on the throat center that would connect the gate 17 to the throat, or the ajna to the throat. And just for today, and maybe a little bit of tomorrow, we have Mars at gate 17, and now the sun at gate 62. So we have this idea of opinions that is readily in our faces. And I underlined something. I just totally forgot what page it was on. So hold on while I get it. This is the book, Human Design, The Science of Differentiation by Linda Bunnell and Ra'u Ruhu. It's based on the work he's done. He is no longer living on the planet. He's living somewhere, but not on the planet. And he's the one that brought in the system, right? So he has a lot of wisdom and a lot of firsthand experience, as he is the one who heard the voice that channeled basically this information into being. So I wanted to read a sentence or so out of this book around the gate 62, which is the gate of precision in the gift level. It's impeccability in the highest level. In the low level, it's intellect. And to me, that was totally unexpected to see the shadow energy in intellect. But maybe you can get that from this sentence. When you wait to be asked to speak, you increase the collective's potential receptivity to what you are sharing, and you avoid the embarrassment of compulsively blurting out facts and details that are unwanted, unnecessary, and may potentially obscure people's understanding. And this comes into play this week very powerfully because the gate 62 is where the images, the pictures, the information we receive comes into the voice, the larynx for expression. And so often between the gate of opinions, gate 17, and the gate of speaking of those opinions or details, facts, and figures at the gate 62, we can have a transmission problem. Interesting, I had to have my transmission worked on in my car as well. I'm going to take a moment here and show you guys the chart of the day for human design. I just got to remember where I put it. There it is. Okay, so let me share my screen with you so everybody can see this. And you'll remember last week when we saw it, we only had the top two centers connected. We still have them connected by the channel of rationalization, I guess is the best word to use here. And now today, anyway, we have Mars at gate 17 and the Ajna connected to the throat at gate 62 where the sun is. So here we have this direct connection to inspiration coming through what we believe to be true and downright to the voice. So people may be very tempted to speak to what they think they know, to their opinions, and they may not even be true, right? So here is our, maybe our task is to make sure that we become a clear conduit of information that we want to share with others. And the wisdom in the throat center in human design, as it is a projected center, and I know some of you are new and you may not understand what I mean by that, but essentially what this means is that we wait for an invitation to use our voices. In human design, the throat center is the gearbox. We want the energy from the head down to the throat. We want the energy from the body centers down here to come up to the throat so we can manifest, so we can put words to the energies, to the thoughts, and then we can create and manifest. So we do, but when it's coming from the Ajna, which is only mental awareness, it isn't truth. It can be facts and figures and information, but it doesn't necessarily speak to what is true. The gate 17 has to test the theories, right? It's the beginning, if you will, of the scientific method, which always says we have a hypothesis and we test that hypothesis. We see if the facts bear out, right? If they do, then we get invited to speak those facts and those figures or bring those things out with impeccability. We know then it's truth and it's not just our opinion or our awareness. So it's a really interesting energy that we have going on this week with that. The Earth also adds her own sense of humor as she is sitting with the planet Jupiter and Pluto at the gate 61. Gate 61 being the shadow of psychosis. And we'll see, here's the Earth at 61. And so we have the pressure to know something. So the pressure in the gate 61, first of all, let me back up just a moment. 61 is in the head center. Note that the head center crosses between the body and spirit, right? So it is sort of like an antenna that is attracting information to you. And streaming, you know, it's like turning on Netflix and streaming, you know, your shows. But instead, we're streaming information from the cosmos into our head first and then into the Ajna and down through the rest of the body. So when we are streaming through the gate 61, it is often about the mystery and the wonder and the awe through which that we, the lens of wanting to know more. Thus, the question in the gate 61 is often why? Like a two-year-old wants, or three-year-old wants to know why? Why? Because They're everything to them is a mystery and is almost unknowable. And the one way we know is by questioning. And the pressure here is to go out and unravel the mystery. And yet, unraveling the mystery sometimes leads us to more mystery, more awe. And so we have to be careful that we are aware of the awe and the wonderment and the magic of the world, and to not dampen that by the facts, right? This is where science and spirituality clash. It's like the interface between the two, and that interface between the two often kills one or the other. All right, that's what science has always been, sort of in this way of proving what's true and what's not. Spirituality or God or, you know, anything to do with source is sort of that unknowable, unprovable, untestable. And so they seem mutually exclusive, but they're not. They're both engaged in the mystery. Right? The mystery. So enjoy the mystery this week, right? The earth is telling us, enjoy the mystery. There are some things that are just unknowable, like what the rest of the energy for the month of July might bring us, why we feel this pressure inside of something that, you know, is maybe going to explode outward. And I'm not saying that. Maybe it's something awesome and wonderful too. But it prompts us to see life in a new way, to live life in a new way. So this week is really a lot of energy devoted to undoing the mind, or at least in not maybe undoing it, just to recognize where its true power lies. The mind's power is not in making decisions. Its power is in awareness of possibilities, of all that is out there and available to us. And your filter, the way you look at the world, is partly responsible for what you bring in through the filter, right? So this is also playing into this idea of duality on the planet and the various divisions and polarities that we experience right now, because in that energy of the mind and its awareness and the filters that it comes through is a sort of individual way of looking at the world. And that individual looking at the world is seeing it through their own lenses, not someone else's. And it makes it very hard sometimes for us to embrace everybody's different viewpoints, because we're so identified with what we see, with what we believe, with what we feel is correct. So this week really tasks us with becoming more open-minded, even though by definition, this is a very sure way of looking at the world, right? A very sure way of being and seeing the way things are happening. And I think it's the gate 17 rules the right eye. So we have this opportunity maybe to see things through a different lens. So that we'll talk about more as we go through the week as well. The earth at the gate 61, remember the shadow is psychosis, and Jupiter and Pluto are also sitting there. So we see this, these psychotic tendencies, these where we are out of our minds, or maybe we're too much in our minds, and we are working through that on the planet, through each other's, through our relationships, through what we say. And remember our destinies, the old is sitting at the gate 10, and this is using words as verbal gunslingers, or, you know, slicing and dicing with words. The new is going here. The north node is pushing us to the gate 15, which is the love of humanity, right? The love of humanity and trying to stay away from those extreme ends and coming into the middle where all there is love, right? Love energy. So interesting that that's happening. Mercury still at the gate 52 this week. 52 is right here on the root center, the pulse to stillness. And that might mean Mercury ruling the mind, bringing your mind to stillness. And we may have to provoke that within ourselves. We may have to engage in meditation or yoga or other disciplines that bring us to that more contemplative stillness of mind. Now, Venus and Mars this week, later, tomorrow, actually. Both Venus and Mars change gates. Venus right now is sitting at the gate 16, which is up here, but she's going to move over here to the gate 35 of embracing new values And those values will be about the multiplicity of things that are out there in the world, right? It's boundlessness, it's adventure, it's hunger in the shadow. So what are we filling the void with? That will be a part of our contemplation as the week goes on. And Mars, as I talked about on Friday, moves into the gate 21, which will be the gate of control. And we deal with being the victim of controllers, or the controllers victimizing the people or others in the world. Could be an interesting week with Mars. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing that screen. Go back over here, see how everybody's doing with that. J-Lo, oh my God, I had issues with my right eye before. My right eye is my weakest eye, amazingly enough. And Oshish, Saturn is sitting there in the fifth line. So I think people are recognizing now you're learning more about yourself. By the way, for those of you who are joining us from Oneness Talk Radio, you can go to my website at www.living-astrology.com and ask for, request your free human design chart. It comes with a report. And you can also request your free astrology chart. And you want to have those when you come here to the shows in the morning, because we talk about so many things and I try to relate them to you personally. And that can only happen if you have your own chart in front of you and you can find where those things are in your chart. And I know a lot of this is new to some of you out there. Maybe you've never heard about human design before. So it's best if you have your own chart and your own explanation of what you have as your template, so that you understand how to apply these different things, transits as they happen in a chart. Because transits also happen in astrology, and we talk about that a lot, but human design transits are also very powerful, and they tend to bring out energy fields within us that we can work with. Okay, now let's talk about what's going on. So basically that was the week, right? We're looking at a week where the mind is very highly activated and we've got to do sort of a mind dump, got to let go of some old stuff. And then we have the sun in opposition to Jupiter and Pluto, empowering us to release that inner, those inner demons, if you will, or to at least come to peace with them, but also to look at what direction we plan on growing. So that looks like our week. Let's bring it into the day today. Where is our moon, right? The moon's transits sort of broadcast to us the subtle emotional energy of the day. And the moon, as we know, moves. It's very quick, and we end up moving through various undercurrents throughout even one day. And so when we are in the morning looking at what is happening with the moon, it's so that we understand that there are these undercurrents of emotional things that are happening that act as triggers to our well-being, to other people's well-being. And when we're going through a day and we're questioning, like, what is wrong with that person, or what is going on with that person, then we have, you know, a reason why that might be happening, or at least a heads up about what that's about, so that we can manage it within ourselves, right? Well, today we still have the moon in Aries. She will be in Aries until 10:34 a.m. West Coast time. So we're aiming for a void here, a void of course moon from 8:54 a.m. to 10:34 a.m. So a little over, what, an hour and 30 minutes maybe, of a void of course moon. Now, for those of you who are new or who have never heard of a void of course moon, the void of course moon happens generally when the moon has made the last aspect to other planets that it will make from the sign that it's in currently. And it changes the energy of the moon for the time that it's in that void. So for example, in the typical run of the day, we have energy to go out and do things, right? To push outward. But when the moon changes to the void, we have a period of time where if we're pushing out and doing things, starting something new, or having to do a lot of work during that period of time, it doesn't often go anywhere. We may find ourselves in a sort of la-la land, or other people are just not focused, or what we've started goes nowhere, right? So during a void of course moon, the things that are best taken care of are the things that have already been in process, or maybe spending more time in spiritual contemplation or in a spiritual practice of sort. Often during a void of course moon, what I do is I go for a walk, or I go do something that is not related to any of my work. Because if I sit down here at my desk and I sit to start something new, then likely it doesn't go very far. And we want to avoid that because we have these breathing in and breathing out moments with the moon. The breathing out is when she is not in the void. In the void, we're going inward. We're going into the womb. We're going into the quietness. We're going into the in-breath where everything is slowed down. So that's what we have for a couple of hours today. A couple of weeks ago, we had a very long void moon, right, where it was like a day and a half. We don't have that. This time, just a couple of hours of that downtime, if you will. Now today, after the void, the moon will move into the sign of Taurus, and it changes up the energy. The moon in Aries has been a bit confrontational, right? If there's just been these little jabs and with this very high energy, and we're very inclined to believe our own emotional field, right? Our own upsets and our own anger. Well, when the moon moves to Taurus, she takes on a completely different feel. It slows the energy down. It becomes more subtle, more laid back. And we'll talk about what all that means with Taurus here in just a minute. But we've also have the transits of the moon to other planets. And today, before the void, so right now, we're in the midst of a square to Saturn. And that means the last transit or the last aspect the moon will make before going into the void is that square to Saturn. So the moon in Saturn, or the moon in a square to Saturn, may make us more contemplative. It may make us feel a little bit more lethargic or down, more inward focused, more introspective. So maybe we can take this hour and a half or so this morning to get some clarity around things that have triggered us, or to get an idea of what it was that the inner conflict or the outer confrontation was during the moon's transit through Aries over the weekend, to gain some clarity before the moon moves on into Taurus, where then she will come into a sextile to Mercury in Cancer, Mercury direct now in Cancer. And that might give us some, you know, new pathways of thought, right? New little wormholes, if you will, where we can make different connections and change our minds in some way to become, you know, more open-minded perhaps. So moon in Taurus, what does it represent? Well, wealth and resources are all a part of the Taurus experience. Taurus is ruled by the planet Venus, which represents our values, represents our money, represents our possessions, and our relationships to our possessions, to what we own, to the things that we really connect with. And also the relationship to ourself, to our own beingness. So we have the idea of income and possessions and how is all of that being affected. And then we have valuing the self. Do we have strong boundaries? Do we know who we are? Does that stand the test of our interactions with everybody on a daily basis? How closely are you expressing your natural gifts and talents? That's a part of the moon's transit through Taurus as well, right? Living from your values, living from your ideals. That's part of this experience. Now, of course, Taurus is also very sensual. It is the sign that we think of that rules the five senses, right? Taste, touch, taste, touch, seeing, smell, and I'm missing one, hearing. So all of those senses come alive with the moon in Taurus. There's the sensuality, right? We want to be touched. We want to be engaged with affection. We want to deal with each other from a very sensual place. There's comfort in this, right? We want to comfort one another. Contentment is also a part of the moon in Taurus. The total relaxation, the letting go of all the cares of the world. appreciation and gratitude also live here when the moon is in Taurus. Living and loving life, all a part of that Taurus. Taurus loves its feet on the ground, being out in the world, in nature, and in the body. Taurus rules the neck and the throat and the thyroids, the parathyroids, everything right around, you know, the neck and the throat. So if you're having any issues in that area of your body, you can look to Taurus in your chart to find out what is going on there. I know it's funny because I was once doing at-home parties, like candles. I can't think of what it's called. Party light. And I did Pampered Chef for a while too after 9/11. And it just seemed like I ended up with laryngitis every time, right? Every time. And now that I look back, knowing human design and knowing astrology more, I go, oh, I get it, right? Using my voice in the wrong way. So you could look at that in your own life as well. Watching out for rigid opinions, right? That's a part of Taurus. It is sluggish energy. And it is, we have to watch for being stagnant. So, you know, letting wherever Taurus is in your chart is where you can get a little bit lazy and not necessarily push the boundaries or push yourself to do new things. You may stay very much in your comfort zone. So sometimes we have to watch out for that, because getting in your comfort zone may keep you locked in instead of free. So moving through that possibly with the moon in Taurus, maybe that is something that you can look at, or that will show up in your field that you can deal with. So Janelle, good morning to you. It's great to see you out there. And maybe Janet did not scroll that far up. Oh boy, what did I miss? Tati, thank you. This is a reminder to like Janet's live. If you like the video, give it a thumbs up. That's always helpful to me. Also, if you haven't yet subscribed, but you want to know that a show is coming up, hit the subscribe button. And also, we welcome comments under the video. My cat is having a little bit of a meltdown over here. I know. I closed the front door. That means she can't get out. So whatever comment I missed, please let me know, J-Lo or whoever's it was. J-Lo says, yes, show me the money. That song popped into my head. OMG, it is so funny when that happens to me. That's something we have alike, because it always happens to me too, where I'll say something and the song pops in. My kids used to laugh at me because I could come up with a song to anything that was happening. And so I'd start singing it. I won't do that today though. J-Lo says, or Destiny, sorry, the Hierophant is the tarot card for Taurus. Key number 5, senses and standing the ground, earth, in your personal traditions and values. Oh, great, great idea to share that kind of information with us, Destiny. Thank you. J-Lo, so where do you think we might take the part on if we lack that sign in our own family also? Possibly. Relationship dynamics. To me, I can see it in astrology. There are synastry and comparison charts that you can draw. But where I really see the themes in families pop out is in human design, because we can see that. It's amazing. Maybe one day we'll do that in the morning. We'll take a look at two charts and, you know, talk about how they come together. It's really fascinating. Okay, so Janelle says, ugh, my life has been crazy. I'm a Scorpio sun and Chiron and Mars in the first house. Everything is drama. And is that your drama, or is it other people's dramas that you're getting drawn into? So Janelle, that's always something. She said, that was my original comment. Oh, okay. Yes, I did miss that comment. So thank you. And she says she's also a manifesting generator. So excited to learn. Manifesting generators, very energetic, right? You have a lot of ability to handle more than one thing, juggle, right? To be able to skip steps if necessary, and then only come back if you need to, you know, if you realize, whoops, I probably shouldn't have skipped that step. You're very much the hare in the stories, right? the rabbit, or the hare and the tortoise and the hare, you're the hare, where the generators are more the tortoise, right? One step at a time. Manifesting generators can just go out in many different directions. And Joshua is also a manifesting generator. Is that right? So yeah, craziness with Mars in Aries now. Some of that crazy can be translated into conflict and confrontation, power struggles for you with other people, or other people who want to provoke the power struggle in you that want to A, try to control you, or B, they want to in some way take your power from you. So here's very strong sense of needing to stand your ground, to being true to yourself, and to not letting yourself get drawn into the other people's dramas and traumas. Now, if you're experiencing your own dramas, which is distinctly possible, I mean, for all of us right now, then what is that showing you in your own life? Where have you been disempowered in some way? Where are you addicted to the drama? And one of the backstories, if you will, that's been kind of running through our human story for a while is the idea of story, is the idea of what story are you telling yourself? Because we all do. We are all always telling us a story about what's happening, about how good we are, about what we can achieve, what we can't achieve, about our wounds from the past and how they affect what we do now, how we've been victimized, how we need saving. We have all these kinds of stories about dramas and traumas and all of that. So maybe this is an invitation for you to change your story, right? What story are you living out? And who's the writer of the story? Right? The 10th house in an astrology chart is about authority, right? Authorship. And when you put the word author there, it's the who's the writer, right? Who is writing the story? And can you write a different story, right? Just start with one little storyline. And can you change that storyline because you're writing the story, right? That's the thing that you need to That's all of us need to understand. You're never a victim to anything that's going on because you're writing the story. Okay. So Joshua says, I'm all activated. I think we all are in some ways. I don't know that I've come across anybody lately who said, oh, my life is so peaceful and wonderful and life is good. Nothing, no problems. Because I think we're all kind of being stickered in one place or another. So am I, Janelle. Funny thing is the person that is reflecting their issue is a Scorpio sun. Interesting. Janelle, wow, that's so crazy you said that because I've been having to defend myself to everyone. People keep sucking me into conflict while I'm literally just minding my own business, being talked about a lot. Ay, ay, ay. So pull yourself out of that one, right? Don't allow yourself to get sucked into that. Defending yourself. I would love to know, Janelle, if you are aware of what the ego center or the will center looks like in your chart. Is it open? Because often an open will center means we feel like we need to defend ourselves. And if it's red, that, I mean, there's just so many things it could be. Red would mean that you're broadcasting that will and that endurance, and other people pick it up and they magnify that or amplify it, and then they rebroadcast it. So it can be magnified in other people around you because only 1/8 of the population has that center defined. So it's an interesting thing to look at. Kimberly, at this moment, life is good, but ask me again 15 minutes from now. Exactly right. And Destiny, Kim, I second that notion. And that's pretty funny because that's so true, right? It's like what we say about the weather here in Washington, wait 5 minutes and it'll change because that's just the way of life, right? Change is the way of life. All right. One last thing before I have to sign off here this morning. The Pleiadian Earth energy of the day is 9 being. And being in the Maya calendar was Emish, which was the cosmic crocodile, the cosmic nurturer, the cosmic mother in some ways. This energy is all about nurturing something, birthing something. And what does all of that mean? And then the 9, the day, the universal energy of the day is all about harmonizing the different ideas, the different activities, the different things that you're, the different ideas or inspiration that's coming in from source energy. And then being is also about initiating something. initiating something that's very nurturing, that is very loving. And remember, we're at the 9 now in a 13-day week, right, in our spiral of consciousness. And the umbrella energy of this particular week was one exploring. And even though we're at the 9 and we have the day of being, which has its own energy, that umbrella keeps it all sort of along a theme or an evolutionary impulse for this week. And the energy in exploring was about being able to embrace different ideas and different opinions and to see things in a broader scope, standing back and finding that common thread that unites us all. Even though we are all different people with different viewpoints, with different backgrounds and different themes in our own lives and different priorities in our lives, there's this idea of unity and oneness that is also a part of our own individual expression of that. It's like you take a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle out of the box, you have 1,000 pieces. Well, we have 7.5 billion pieces on the planet, and if you put them all together, they form one coherent puzzle with each little piece having its own identity. That's the part that we've missed in our relation to others on the planet, is that even though we may have different opinions and different ideas and different viewpoints, we're all still part of this one beautiful tapestry, and remembering that and honoring that in our interactions with one another, and not being so stringent and caught up in your own viewpoint or opinion that you can't yield and bend when other people present you with theirs, right? So that is our big evolutionary impulse this week, or last week it was actually when it started, and we're moving through that now and coming, you know, we're coming into the last 3 days, 4 days of our evolution of consciousness in that. Okay. That is it for me this morning. Thank you all for joining me. Again, if you're new and you're hearing me for the first time, you may want to go to my website, living-astrology.com, request your own human design chart or your own astrology chart, and start your own journey towards self-knowledge, right? That's my favorite saying, is know thyself, because if you don't know yourself, you have no clue how to interrelate with everybody else, right? All right, guys, take care. Much love to all of you. And we'll see you tomorrow. All right, bye for now.